Dearly beloved in Christ, there are relatively few doctors of the church, and some you may know, some may not, but everyone knows about the great saint that I am about to speak about. At least we've heard of him. A renowned doctor of the church whose feast we will celebrate tomorrow, the great Saint Augustine of Hippo. Many may know him for his brilliant teachings, and many again surely know him for his conversion to Christianity. In fact, he wrote a book called The Confessions of St. Augustine, which describes in great detail what tremendous trials he went through to overcome himself, to cast off the old man, as we say, and to put on the new man. In many ways, he was the prodigal son that returned to his father, his heavenly father. He was the lost sheep that our Lord found and brought back to the fold. In one meditation book, the author outlines his life in a threefold way, and I wanted to mirror that for this sermon. So first, he covers what he calls the estrangement of St. Augustine from God, or his wayward life before his conversion. St. Augustine was richly endowed with natural gifts. He had rare eloquence and a profound and subtle genius, but they were all worse than useless to him. The sense of his superior talents and the praises he received filled him with pride and estranged him from God, from humble submission to the church, and it cast him into the heresy of the Manichaeans. Having lost the fear of God, he became the slave of his passions, and he led a sinful life till he was 30 years old. His great genius did indeed make him feel the shame of being thus enchained by vice, but he blushed for himself. He desired to be free, but he had not the strength to do it. It needed a miracle of grace to bring him back to God and to himself. We know that the spiritual writers say that pride is the root of all evil. And when a man has great achievements, but in his success he allows pride to take hold of him, he is blinded to any of his faults. But St. Augustine was able to overcome his pride and vice. There is, of course, a very strong message that we should take away from the life of St. Augustine, and that is that no matter how great or how many our sins are, we can always overcome them by the grace of God. The second point is St. Augustine's return to God, as the author puts it. It cost St. Augustine a long and severe struggle before he broke his chains and triumphed over his habits of sin. He says in his Confessions that these habits had become a sort of second nature, and that it seemed impossible for him to become chaste, to live in sobriety and purity, but that this fancied impossibility was really only a want of energetic will and a neglect of prayer. "I was like," he said, "a man who wishes to rise at a certain hour, and when the time comes, he yields to the pleasure of giving way, and he falls asleep again." But grace, at last, triumphed over this habitual sinner, and he became the model of true penitence. The most glorious champion of the faith, the scourge of heretics, the light, and one of the most illustrious fathers of the church. We should be grateful toward God for finding ourselves in the true faith, but it can happen that we become lax. We take it for granted sometimes. We make excuses for the silliest reasons, and we know it. Idleness is the devil's workshop, as they say, and it is true that the one who gives in to self-indulgence, to idleness, and to complacency is going to become lukewarm in the faith. God himself told us in Scripture, "Be ye hot or be ye cold, but the lukewarm I will begin to vomit out of my mouth." Yes, becoming lax in the faith is the first step down a slippery slope, and it brings with it all kinds of small faults that weigh us down and seem to make us feel that we just can't go on. Some people worry about not being able to convert those around us who do not have the true faith, and we should strive to do all that we reasonably can to help them, but it starts with us. It starts with our own spiritual foundation. It's all God's grace, that works the conversion. And he will do that through us if we are strong in our own faith. But if we are lax, if we are weak in our own faith, if our spiritual foundation is not set firmly upon the rock, which is our faith, then how can we expect to draw anyone else to the truth? When we are spiritually strong ourselves, we lead, first of all, by good example. St. Augustine was so outstanding because not only did he completely turn around his spiritual crisis, but he also converted many staunch heretics in his lifetime. And that brings us to the third and the final point of St. Augustine's life, his love for God. St. Augustine is usually represented holding a burning heart in his hand as a symbol of his ardent love, a love which was principally manifested by his indefatigable zeal. From the day of his baptism, which he received at the age of 32 from the hands of St. Ambrose, he never ceased for the 43 remaining years to preach and to write. He brought many sinners back to God and many heretics and schismatics, so numerous in his days, to the unity of the faith. The influence of his zeal is still felt. It has survived him over the centuries. It has survived in his innumerable ascetical and dogmatical writings, in the religious orders that he founded, and the women also so admirable for their charity and zeal under the name of Augustines, served in the hospitals so many years ago. So what is it that we can take away from his life? Well, there are many things, of course, but if it is one thing that we should especially seize upon from his life, it is this, that we ought to have zeal for our personal sanctification. Never give up hope in the grace of God. Many a story we have that tell us the tale of some wretched sinner, so lost in his own world of hate and sin that he doesn't even desire to let God's grace flow freely through his heart and soul. No, he would almost rather be damned for all eternity than be sorry for his atrocities. And when we think, surely all hope must be lost, God snatches that poor sinner on the brink of self-destruction from the clutches of Satan. As mentioned earlier, it took a miracle of God's grace to change the heart and the mind of a brilliant man. But a miracle it was, and now we rejoice with St. Augustine, who in turn prays for us, and he rejoices for all eternity in a well-earned paradise. St. Augustine, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.